is amazing. So amazing. I honor the Lord on this morning. I honor his blessed son, Jesus. I honor his precious Holy Spirit. I give honor to my husband, to everyone that is online, everyone that is here in the house of the Lord. Oh, my goodness. God, you are so amazing. I bless the Lord on today, and I thank him for all that he is in my life. I thank God for Sister Lisa and everything that she brought to the ministry. Hallelujah, she will truly be missed. Okay, let's just go to the word. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. If it's on the screen, read. Okay. Matthew 24, verse 44 says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God is so good to us. Oh. It was somewhat baffling to me how we go after God. He reveals himself to us and we stay the same. I'm not saying that all of us are where we were when we first came to God. But our prayers, our desires, our perception of life, our perception of God in our lives, hallelujah, we don't really go to him for understanding. And we miss out on so much. Hallelujah. And I bless God because Sister Lisa was ready to go. She was ready to go with the Lord. But my question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Cleaning out. Anybody need to clean it, clean their house up, clean their closets out, clean it. I got all everything I need to clean out and get rid of junk and quit filling up with more junk. But that's the same way we need to clean our spirit man out. Hallelujah. And even what I was saying this morning, we've got so much reserve in us. Of what we don't want to let go of, what we don't want anybody to know. Hallelujah. So much reserve in us. Hallelujah. And you have no idea what God has for you. My daughter was, Rowan Day, they come to do Dialysis Day on Friday. And I was telling her that I was praying for God to work a miracle for Diana's dad. And she said, I need to tell you something that the Lord told me about miracles. And I don't ever want to ask God for another miracle as long as I live. I don't. I don't want any miracles done in my life ever again. Looking at what I call miracles. She said, I asked God to work a miracle for my sickness, for my kidneys. She said, and I just crying out to God, I need you to work a miracle. God, I need a miracle. And she said, the thing that messed with her head was that the Lord told her, why do you want a miracle? I'm more than a miracle. And I was like, oh my God. And she was saying how she asked God about the meaning, and it was how we limit ourselves without prayers. If you notice, I'm almost scared to pray and ask for stuff. I just want God to do what he does. Move off of what he knows. Hallelujah. But I took away from that. I don't ever want another miracle. God, I just want you. Whatever you do, however you fix it, if you leave it the same, I'm good. I just want you. Hallelujah. Because when you talk about being ready to go with the Lord, one thing God emphasizes all the way through his word from Genesis to Revelations is about yielding to him. And a lot of times when we go to God with our own agenda, especially in prayer, we're not yielding to him. We want him to pay attention to what we're saying. And even after hearing that, I was more scared to pray and ask God for this, that, and the other, fix this, and that, and the other, do this, that, and the other. Because I just want him to do him. He already knows what we need. He knows where we are, and I just want him to just be himself and have his way everywhere in all of our lives. Chandler, if you stick close to Paula and you do the things that she said, your life is going to be remarkable. Yeah, it is. It is. If you ever needed to stick close to anyone, it's your cousin or your aunt. It's your cousin, Paula. Hallelujah. She does not even know it herself, but she will empower your life. Hallelujah. Are you ready to go with the Lord? You have no idea when he's coming. This scripture really deals with the second coming of Christ. Okay. Hallelujah. But sometimes his coming may not necessarily be his second coming, but when he comes for us. Because he's coming for every last one of us. Hallelujah. If we are not already designated to go through the rapture. And to go through the rapture, you know, you got to go through the tribulation period, right? In the great tribulation. Whole nother message. But ready means to be prepared mentally and physically for some experience or some action, to willingly dispose. Hallelujah. Okay. For you to put things in place, set things in order, be ready. Okay. So, one thing, okay, we're going to bypass that. You got to be ready. You prepare yourself for when you're going on trips, when you're planning functions. You make preparation. I saw Jazz Paul outside when I came to church this morning. And I came up here and I didn't see her. And I'm like, okay. And then I thought about, I remembered something about the setting up downstairs. Okay. There's all sorts of preparations that we make in order to be ready for something that's coming. Okay. In the scripture, it talks about being ready for when the bridegroom comes. From preparing for the wedding, are you going to be ready? Even when you're trying to get married, you're making preparations, and you make preparations way in advance. You make preparations sometimes months in advance. You know, we can do weddings. We can do weddings inside 1 to 2 weeks and have everything. Don't be laughing. And have everything. That right, Keith? But we go through extensive. Look, let me take a seat. Let me show you how this really happens. This is the way you want it to be when you feel like the Lord is coming for you. In our 1 week weddings, we'll go find some old wedding dresses. I'll rip off this and rip off that, and I'll replace this and that so it'll look like a brand new dress. Hallelujah. We'll put the order in for the cake, whatever kind of cake you want. We'll go online and start with the invitations if that's what you want. We have put weddings together in 1 week. And I think Darlene's first wedding was less than a week, but it was beautiful. Hallelujah. It was beautiful. But that's the kind of planning we want to do for the coming of the Lord. We want to live, have fun, and do us, and just get ready at the last minute. Okay? But people, some other people, when they plan weddings, they're like planning weddings 6 months out. They're getting they're planning for whatever food they're going to have. They're looking for venues. They're doing all kinds of things to be ready for that wedding. And think about things that you put a lot of your physical and your mental strength into trying to be prepared for something. But are you putting that much into being prepared to go with the Lord? When you're planning, like in this scripture refers to a wedding too. When you're planning like for a wedding, it's on your mind all day, every day until the day you get married. And even after you get married, when you look at those pictures, you're reminiscing about things that it took you to get to this point. Hallelujah. All day it's on your mind. Every day. Hoping everything will work okay. In the midst of working, in the midst of whatever you have to do, that wedding is on your mind, preparing for it, trying to look your best. And the sad thing about it, we don't even know what our best really is. We don't know what our best looks like. But it's our best to us. God has given us a whole Bible telling us how you can look and be your best and be prepared for Him. And we have no desire to pay hardly any attention to it at all. How many of you, seriously, let me put your hand up on this one. How many of you are expecting the Lord to come today to take you away? Okay, what about tomorrow? Nobody? Y'all just expecting, okay, next week. How many are expecting the Lord to come next week to get them? Okay, next month. What? That's proof that we're still walking after ourselves. Okay? Matthew, I found out that Jesus had a whole lot of sermons on the mount, but they were on other mounts. This is like the Luke mount, the Luke chapter mount that he had this sermon on. Hallelujah. But it's Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48. Hallelujah. And he's talking about watchfulness. And this is out of the NIV version. He says, be dressed. Let me read it all. Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asks, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. Hallelujah. Okay. We've got to stop living like we got time. Sister Lisa was young. So many young people are leaving here. You don't have to be old to die. Because you have reached the age that you are, hallelujah, doesn't that mean tomorrow is promised to you? Hallelujah. So in Luke, this chapter 12, verse 35 starts off talking about be dressed and ready. Be dressed and ready for service, and your lamps, keep your light. Hallelujah. You've got to always be looking. Today might be my day. Today might be the day that I leave here. Tomorrow, wake up tomorrow. Today may be the day that I leave here. Every day, today may be the day that I leave here. You don't have, maybe not have to blast it out, but it's got to be in your spirit, man. Hallelujah. And your actions speak louder than words. You don't even have to say the words, but the decisions that you make, the choices that you make, hallelujah, and how you govern yourself that day says, this may be my last day. And because I thank God for letting me see this day, tomorrow may be my last day. Hallelujah. Get your house in order. Because you do not know the day or the hour when the Lord is coming. Hallelujah. He says, but be waiting. This is an example of how we have to be waiting and watching and be ready. It's like he's coming, your master's coming home from a banquet. Hallelujah. So be ready. I thought about him, how the Lord goes away. To be says, I'll go away and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He's preparing for us now. Ever since he left and went to heaven, he's been preparing for us. Is it too much to ask for us to prepare for him now? Hallelujah. A lot of us have lived years in the Lord, still doing us. But he's saying now, prepare. Prepare. Get your life in order. Get your spirit cleaned up. Yield yourselves to him. Stop playing these games with God. Stop playing games with people. Hallelujah. Get ready, because some of us are about to get up out here. All of us are not going to be here for the rapture. And it ain't about nobody being old either. Some young people will not be here for the rapture. Hallelujah. All of us could be gone by the time the rapture comes. And it's not long. Hallelujah. Because the Lord says, I was kept reading, hallelujah, and it says, he think you good at discerning the times. You know, when it's about to snow, you look up at the sky and it's all gray. Oh, it's going to snow. And the Lord is like, you can't even look and discern the times when I say I'm coming. Because if you did, if you were interested in anything that I said, anything about me, you would know, hallelujah, that I said, hallelujah, so as it was in the days of Noah, hallelujah, where people were eating and drinking and giving into all kinds of sexual activities, doing whatever that they wanted to do. He says that's going to be the same way it's going to be when the coming of the Lord is. And you tell me that we're not living in those days and times. Hallelujah. Okay, he's like, this is just your servant. Your master's coming home from a banquet. You need to be watching at the door so that when he comes, he don't even have to knock, but he can open. You can open the door for him. Hallelujah. But because the thing is, he's coming to bless you, not himself. The Lord is coming to get you and take you back to the place that he has prepared for you. He ain't doing nothing for himself. He's not blessing himself. He's blessing you. Hallelujah. That's why you got to be ready. Ready to open the door for him when you see him coming. Look at this. It said it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. That's what your master's coming to do. He's coming to bless you. He's coming to heal you. He's coming to take you, hallelujah, out of this world of horrible pain, suffering, sin. Hallelujah. All the things that upset you, all the things that make you mad. He's coming to dress a table for you to recline. I need to recline. Just sit back and take it easy. And the sad thing about it is that we're still loving the world so much that we want to be in it. Hallelujah. We live like we're praying a Hezekiah prayer all the time. God, just, Lord, just give me a little bit more time. But what happened to Hezekiah when God gave him more time? He gave him 15 more years. Go and research it. He wasn't the Hezekiah that we knew anymore. Hallelujah. Just ran more and more after the world. But what? Go read it and find, not now, for your reading enjoyment time. Find out the things that happened to him. Your master is coming to bless you. Somebody you ask for, hey, can you loan me $1,000? You will go in the closest room to your front door so that you can see when they're coming. Because you won't be up and you won't open that door for them. Yes, you would. And by the time you open that door for them expecting $1,000, they'll come and say, well, all I had was 300. But God don't pull no okie dokes on you like that. He's faithful. He's true to him. He's true to his promises towards us. Hallelujah. Those mindsets that we have, those ways that we have, the way that we go about thinking what a good life is, it's going to cause us to be lost. It is. He's coming to wait on us. To serve us, and we don't want to serve him. We don't want to serve in his house. We don't want nobody begging us to do nothing. Hallelujah. Don't want nobody begging us to do nothing. Hallelujah. But he's coming to serve us. He's coming to give us something we long for, something we don't really know the totality of. Hallelujah, but it'll blow our minds, bring a joy that we never knew. You give a whole new meaning to the word joy. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them ready. Even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak, that means you gotta still be watching. Lay down. You shouldn't even lay down in your bed and you don't say nothing. But they taught us, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That was our kids' prayer. Our parents taught us to pray that prayer. Y'all don't even teach our children to pray at night. You don't pray with them. And I said, well, I do mine. Pastor, I do. Yeah, right. Hallelujah. You get up in the morning, you tell them to thank God for waking you up. Well, my alarm clock, your alarm clock ain't do squat. Because your alarm clock can ring. People's alarm clocks have rang a lot. Hallelujah. And like my crazy phone, and don't never go off. They rung and the people never were there. They were no longer alive to answer the alarm clock and shut it off. Hallelujah. We hear the word of God. But are we receiving the word of God? He said, understand this, if that owner had known when that thief was going to come in and break in his house, he wouldn't have allowed that. He would have prepared himself. He's like, you got to be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour that you don't expect him to come. And Peter wanted to know, Lord, are you telling this parable just to us? Or are you talking to everyone? Hallelujah. It's to us and everyone. The Lord said, whoever is faithful and wise, whoever is a faithful and wise manager, that's the everyone. The us is the ones that manage as we go, what we feel like, when we feel like. The word of God, the life in Christ Jesus, you can't live it when you feel like it. Hallelujah. I'm not feeling service today, so I won't be there. Hallelujah. You just feeling hell. Keep on. Okay? I'm not feeling prayer time. So you ain't supposed to be feeling nothing. You're supposed to be doing what the word says, abiding by what the word says. Hallelujah. Okay. Like those that are managing my word, my instructions, hallelujah, and the blessings that I have given unto them, those are the ones that's going to be ready when I come. You don't get a warning. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know about the trump, but did you pay attention where it fit in the coming of Christ? The trump of God will sound and the dead of Christ will rise. It's too late when the trumpet sounds for you to try to go and do that week wedding, the 1 week wedding. It's too late. Hallelujah. Things get to happening. God won't even let it come in your mind to call on him because you ain't been calling on him all along. We got to throw our wheels in the garbage. They were supposed to be buried when we got baptized. Hallelujah. But we went back to the water and picked them jokers up and stuck them back inside of us. Said, come on, honey. Come on, baby. You got to annihilate that will, yours. That's the one you got to annihilate. Stop trying to annihilate the will of everybody else. The faithful and the wise manager of the word of God in their lives, those are the ones that will be waiting for him. Hallelujah. Okay? These are people that God gives. He gives responsibility to. What have you done with the responsibility that God gave you? Wow. Hallelujah. Okay. It'll be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he comes. It's taking care of the business of the Lord. And who is the business of the Lord? We are. The first one you got to take care of is you. Hallelujah. We want to rule somebody else's life. We want to manipulate somebody else's mind, have them going and doing the things we want them to do. Hallelujah. That's because we can't control our own minds. It's the only reason we go after another mind to take control over. Because we're not doing right by our own selves. Hallelujah. But he says, give you this example here. Suppose the servant say to himself, hey, the master is taking a long time coming. And those servants that he's supposed to feed and give them their food according to the master's direction, then he start beating them up. And he goes somewhere hanging out, hanging with his buddies, hanging with his friends, even hanging with his family. Hallelujah. Hanging in the clubs, hanging in the bars. Back then they had, way back when they had in the juke joints. Hallelujah. Somebody told you it was okay to take a drink and you believed it. Hallelujah. He says, what if that servant says, hey, the master's taking a long time coming. And he begins to beat those servants up, the men and the women, and he starts getting drunk, starts tasting, nipping. You might say, hey, the Lord delivered me from the alcohol. Did you go to lying? Did you go to stealing? When your mind is not made up to be in Christ, he can deliver you from something, but you'll pick up something else. You can't substitute what God delivers you from to get entangled with the yoke of bondage in a whole different way. This is verse 44. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour that he is not aware of. He will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. In other words, that's hell. You feel, oh God, he's been saying for a long time and he's coming. That's scripture. Hallelujah. Many will say, Lord, that he's been saying he's coming for a long time. And that's what he wants you to think, because bottom line is God will always give you enough rope to hang your own self. So if he's delaying anything, and that's even when it comes to blessings, if he delays anything, he wants to see you're on trial for what's really in your heart to show you what you really think of God. Oh, well, the Lord didn't give it to you. I thought I would have had it by now. Well, you know what? I'm just going to go and do this. See, you was undeserving anyway. You weren't really trusting God. You were trying to manipulate God for something, not trusting him. A lot of us have gotten angry when we didn't get blessed when we thought we should have, when we didn't get blessed when we thought the Lord said he was going to do it. I heard him say this morning, before you call, he will answer. And while you're speaking, it's already done. Whew. But then how much of that are you going to believe? Hallelujah. Because when God says to go through, when he says to press, when he says to yield to me, you do it and you don't fight with him. God, I've been doing this a long time. I've been in this way for 6 years. I've been in this way for 2 months. I've been in this way for 12 years. That woman had her is your blood 12 long years. What you going to put up with for 12 years? Hallelujah, to see the glory of God in your life. Hallelujah, to go to the wedding that you're supposed to be the bride in. What are you going to put up with? Or are you constantly going to keep trying to get up out of everything that just wrecks your little nerve? Hallelujah. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready and does not do what the master wants, he's going to be beaten with many blows. Some things we're going through now, whippings that we're taking for things that God told us to prepare ourselves for, because he wanted to show himself mightily through us, in us. And we did not take heed. And some things that you're going through now, some things that you went through maybe a month ago, a year ago, and it was just so hard. That could have been a spanking, a whipping for something. Hallelujah. And it's the glory about whippings. Why do you whip your children? Huh? To learn a message, you love them. What else? Discipline. What else? Have you had to whip EJ? You did? Sure. Oh, y'all can't see his face, but he like. But the thing is, why is he sitting there next to you? Yeah. Huh? Speak up. And that's where he belongs. Why? You know, I'm a person of 1,000 questions. Why does he belong right there in that seat? So you ain't kick him down the curb. I mean, to the curb in the sewer. You ain't get rid of him. You don't want to get rid of them? No? Oh, my question is, would you rather take a spanking, a whipping, a tail lashing, or would you want God to give you a 4,000? Ain't but one other person you can go to. Oh, won't you reach out and hug him? Oh, God, did he thank you for the whipping? I'm talking to you, EJ. Him, no, you ain't give your him. He spanked you. See how y'all are with God. Nala, Nala, I use somebody else. But see how we are with God? He shouldn't have whipped me at all. He just don't understand our generation. But he whipped him because he loved him. It's better for him to have taken that spanking than for you to get put in an adoption agency where you get raped and molested and parents don't want you because you're too old. Hallelujah. What is that what you really want for God to say? You know what? Hey, who's the other daddy out here? Ain't but two daddies. Two daddies that can adopt you. The devil is daddy number one, and you daddy number two. He can leave you, you can be adopted to your own self, to forget the Lord, and just do whatever you want to do. Both of them, you're going to land up in hell. And then the next time, something is like going crazy in your life, you're feeling pain, you're feeling hurt, you're feeling sorrow, you're feeling something that you don't want there. Say, God, thank you for the chastisement. Because I don't want to be a bastard. I don't want to be given a full adoption. Thank you for holding on to me and taking care of me. Hallelujah. Don't you tell your children, life ain't peaches and cream. You can't always have what you want. But you expect them to hear you and pay attention to it, and then you don't want to pay attention to it when the Lord says it. That's why you're going to be beaten with many blows. Hallelujah, because if much is given to you, much is going to be demanded. Hallelujah. If God entrusts you with much, he's going to expect so much more from you and ask you to do so much more. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what Revelation said. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. That's a mind blower for me. It's going to take me some fasting and seeking to find a lot of revelation about that one. But he that sat on the great white throne, the entire earth and the entire heavens fled away from him and couldn't find nowhere to go. Was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Hallelujah. In the event we do be in Kay's dream, it does work like that. And it's a big, tall projector that comes up when you stand up or when you walk near. Still a book. It's still recorded. I tell you everything we do and say has been recorded. Still a recording. Hallelujah. Thought about the dream. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What you doing living like you want to live? What you doing thinking that you got time to get it right and come to God? What are you doing thinking that time is on your side and it belongs to you? Because even if you had time, even if you say, well, I'm in much better health than Pastor, I probably live a whole lot longer than she gonna live. So what? But when my screen comes up, I can have 700 things on my screen. When your screen come up, so that all the fun that you had in life, all doing all that you wanted to do, your screen can have 7,000 things. And maybe three of them were never dealt with. And those are the three that can send you to hell. You don't get to judge. We can't pick and choose what God will say about what we've done. Because if you remember the dream didn't have a lot with, it had a lot with what we did, but God was focusing on we did what we did because of what we thought and what we felt. All those things that you think are hidden, and the things that's going to take you under, the things that's going to cause you to be lost. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, don't nobody know about it. Just keep quiet. Don't say nothing. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. If we're here, it's because there's some major stuff we need to clean up. There's some major reckonings with what has gone on in us and what is going on in us that we need to come to grips with and lay it all out on the altar. Hallelujah. Okay. We don't want to come to grips with our uglies. We got a bunch of uglies living up in us. Whole lot of little men up on our shoulders, creeping around, giving us instructions, and we hear them and obey them rather than obey the instructions of God. We have all had time to prepare when we have. You had a lot of time to prepare. Just because you're not ready and you want more time to flesh walk doesn't mean that he won't come for you. It just means that you'll go where your flesh walk wants you to go. Hallelujah. You know what your flesh walk is? All your desires. That's got your wheels in motion, trying to make it all work for you. That's your flesh walk. But your flesh walk can only yield you one thing: death. And whatever sort it chooses for you to die. Hallelujah. Preparation to go with God is about loving God with all your heart and not your mouth. There are a lot of mouth lovers of God, but the love is not really in their hearts. And when the love for God is not really in your heart, it's easy to flesh walk. Hallelujah. Miss Thane. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for your great mercy towards us, your indescribable love for us. Give us to take heed to your word. Give us, Lord, to treat every moment we have as if it is our last. Because what would we really be doing if we were told we only had until tomorrow to live? God, give us to stop playing games with you and get out right, get our souls cleaned up and walk right before you. We thank you, God, for your great grace and your great mercy towards us. Give us not to think that it just belongs to us whenever we want it. God, give us to know that we cannot get into your kingdom unless we are in you and all the way in you. All the lies we tell to ourselves about we're doing good, minister to us in our dreams, our visions, words. God, you know how to do it. Minister to us in ways that you know it will reach us. Because you're good if we don't hear you, but we're not. Give us to run hard after you. And after we've run hard after you, give us to run harder after you. Because there's so much to pull us from you and to separate us from you. I pray, Lord God, that those that know that they have drifted away from you, if they lift their hearts to you now, I pray that you would restore them. I pray, God, that you would give them to come back to you. I pray, Lord, that you would increase their faith in you, that you would manifest yourselves to them in ways that you have not. Give them to know, God, they only got to come for real. And Father, we thank you or even accepting them back because you are married to the backsliders, especially the ones that show up and walk the walk, talk the talk. God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your tremendous love and your great mercy towards us. This is my prayer, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you for every heart that's open to you. And I thank you for the joy and the peace and the faith and all of those in believing in you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you.